Hello, and welcome to the Intuitive by Nature podcast. I'm Bonnie Casamassima, and it's incredible being here with you. In this series, Celeste Page Sample and I are going to be chatting about all things intuition, what it is, how people connect with it, and how it can be so much more than we've often let ourselves believe. We're going to be diving deep into the insights, lived experiences, and share findings from a research project where we interviewed over 50 highly sensitive intuitive mediums and empaths from around the world. Join along to follow the insights that we uncovered in conversations with doctors, nurses, therapists, CPAs, healers, and everything in between as they shared their journeys connecting with their intuitive abilities. So let's go ahead and dive in. Hello and welcome. We're so excited to be here with you today. I am Bonnie and Celeste. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you. What are you excited about with today's chat?
Well, hi Bonnie. Hi everyone who's listening. I'm excited to dive in. I'm excited to explore and share everything that we've learned and uncovered in our research. And I'm also excited to explore more, like with this podcast and where it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I know we're going to share a little bit more toward the end of the episode of the logistics of the research and some of the details of it. But for now, I know you and I were talking a little bit before we started recording around the why we decided to create this podcast. And I'm curious, you know, what are some reasons that you felt, and after going through the research project, looking at people's connection with their intuition, what was it that inspired you to want to help with a podcast?
Good question. So why did I want to be a part of this podcast? The research was a lot of fun. It was a lot of work and it was a lot of fun. I found it very insightful, even for myself. And when you're like really in the thick of research, you know, you get all these jewels and this yummy stuff and you learn it, you want to share it with people. But sometimes so much of that information, it's like, where do I start? Mm-hmm. Like I wanted to like tell people, and it's like, they'll ask me a question. I'm like, I have no idea how to make this succinct, right? Like, I don't know how to make it make sense. So the beautiful thing about this podcast was it gave us an opportunity to distill the information we found and be able to share it in a way that is accessible.
Yeah, completely agree. One of the things that was really inspired by when you and I started talking about turning this research into a podcast series was how we could really look at it to make this conversation very accessible to a wide range of people. And one of the reasons I was personally really inspired to create this podcast with you is what we found in the research. You know, when people shared over and over and over again, those that had developed an intentional relationship with their intuition, they talked about how it made them better parents. It made them stronger leaders. They were less stressed. They were more aligned with their heart-led purpose, mm-hmm. all around connecting with their intuition. So for me, that was such an eye-opening finding, you know, people sharing in this open-ended question format over and over and over again, how it had added immeasurably to their life when they really develop that intentional relationship with their intuition. It made me realize like, oh, let's share this in a really conversational, accessible way, but make sure that we're meeting people wherever they are on their journey.
Exactly.
Yeah. So now that we've shared a little bit about why we're so excited to create this podcast and share it with everybody that's listening, Celeste, would you share a little bit about that framework and how we're really organizing this series to tackle this breadth of research in a fun, accessible way?
Yes, I would love to. So like we said, there was a ton of information and we wanted it to be accessible. So one of the fun ways of doing that is through storytelling. So with each episode, we're going to dig into one key finding from the research and we'll share a little bit about what the participants share with us. Bania shares some of her personal story. I'll definitely share some of my personal story. And we'll talk about not only the key finding, but also some implications that can come from that finding, right? So how you can apply it to your life. So that's what you can look forward to when you stick with us as we talk about intuition.
Now that we've chatted a little bit about the why of the podcast and the structure of the way the series is going to unfold, let's go ahead and dive right in into what intuition is. And I know, Celeste, you and I were talking a little bit before the recording that we both are nerds and go to Webster's Dictionary first for the actual definition. So Webster's Dictionary defines intuition as, quote, a feeling of knowing or understanding something without evident rational thought and inference. So that's Webster's Dictionary. Celeste, would you share a little bit more about how people described intuition throughout the research project and interviews?
Throughout the research, people described intuition and how they experienced it in a wide range of ways. Everything from gut feeling to body sensations to information coming through, vivid dreams. Some people describe seeing visuals in their mind's eye, while some even describe situations where they're seeing things like in their waking life. So all types of sensations, right? They also describe experience in hearing information that's not physically in the room with them, or smelling things, perfume, roses, all these things that, you know, obviously not in my space, but I'm picking up on it. I'm hearing it, I'm smelling it, I'm seeing it. So the research includes all of this and everything else you can think of within the realm of intuition.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know we'll talk about some specific examples of what people shared for those experiences. Another way I really like to talk about intuition based on what we found in the research and how people described their experiences is I like to explain it, you know, when you meet somebody for the first time and you can't explain why, but you're just incredibly drawn to them. It's almost like your body is physically a magnet to them. And you just know, I just need to be around this person. I can't explain why, but I feel better when I'm around them. Or on the flip side of that, you maybe meet someone and you get this instant knowing without, again, rational thought or inference. If we're going back to Webster's Dictionary. You meet somebody and all of these red flags are jumping up. Okay, like maybe don't meet this person. Don't spend a lot of time with them. Don't connect with them. There's just, you can't really explain why. You just know that you are a little put off by them.
Yeah.
Have you ever had that experience?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, our spidey senses go off. So I'm not saying I've ever done this, obviously, but maybe you just go ahead and date that person for 5 years anyway, just to figure out how it goes.
Right. Because you have to make sure.
And it turns out your intuition was correct all along. And how it might have been had you listened to it in the beginning, and how different those 5 years may have been.
Yeah. But you had to check.
Absolutely.
Because it could have been heartburn.
It could have been. All this to say, our intuition knows. It knows when we're able to really foster that connection with it. But it's our job to really tune into it, trust it, and should we choose, take aligned decisions from that. So now that we've talked a little bit about intuition and we've talked a little bit about the different ways that people explain it coming through, one of the things that we're going to be really diving into is a key pattern within the research. And Celeste, would you mind talking a little bit about that key pattern? And then we'll dive into some examples that people shared.
Yeah. So in today's episode, we're going to talk about a key finding we call self-identification. You could think of it as this, quote, I believe I receive information from outside and throughout my body that is beneficial to my life experience. So another way of thinking about that, one participant shared or described it as having a secondary sensory system. So almost imagine your body being an antenna where you can receive and put out, but these information is moving through you. And it comes in many forms, right?
You know, Celeste, one of the things that was really surprising as we're talking about it comes in many forms is when talking with people, they shared that they didn't really realize until they dove in that they were very intuitive, because in their mind, if they weren't what's called clairvoyant or being able to see, you know, earthbound spirits, either walking around with their eyes open or in their mind's eye, then that wasn't intuition. So they discredited the way that information came to them in different forms, you know, through all of their senses, through hearing things, smelling things, tasting things. I thought that was really surprising from the research.
Yeah, definitely from the research and even just sharing with people, you know, and it's like, well, what'd you do research on? I'm like, intuition. They're like, well, what is that? And a lot of these people I'm talking to may have come from a more religious framework. And so when I say, oh, you hear the Holy Spirit, and they're like, oh, I get that. But this for somebody else, it's like clairvoyance. It's like, oh, I get that. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just interesting how the information comes in different forms. People either think they have it or they don't, just based on terminology and if they're familiar with it. But it all really can be really scary, right? Really overwhelming if you're like hearing things and having these sensations and not sure what to call it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. To not have that framework around it. And I think that's one of the things we're so excited to talk about with this is that it comes, one, in many forms, right? People described it through all of their senses, as well as, you know, vivid dreams, as well as mm-hmm. being able to hold things and have an awareness of who owned that item before, as an example. And before they really dove in and had that relationship or that framework around how to process it and manage it, it was incredibly overwhelming. And really, you know, to your point, people described it as really scary, and they wanted to often shut it down. I know you pulled a few quotes around this. Would you mind sharing one that comes to mind?
Yep, I got one for you. Quote, when I started to feel my intuitive abilities, I started to get scared because what I was feeling was represented so differently in my religious upbringing than what I was actually experiencing, end quote. And that's what I feel like I hear a lot when I'm talking to people about, well, what was your research about? They go back to this feeling of, should you be talking about that? You know?
Absolutely. Yeah, one of the things, I get a lot of the same questions too. People will come up to me and say like, so you research intuition, right? Like, yeah, I do. And people shared over and over that they feel very strongly that we all have this connection. So let's keep mm-hmm. talking about it in a really normalized, modern way with it.
Right.
Yeah, but absolutely to hold that empathy and that compassion, no matter where people are on their journey, it can be really, really scary and overwhelming when there's so much social conditioning that we're supposed to feel a certain way when mm-hmm. these experiences occur. And maybe that aligns or doesn't align with how you're feeling in that moment, right?
Right.
You know, for example, you know, some people share that they felt really calm in their body. They felt deep love. But when their analytical reasoning kicked in, they were told they were supposed to be really afraid of this. So they got really scared and it shut it down, right?
Exactly.
I have another quote that really stood out about that journey before connecting with intuition mm-hmm. and shutting it down. I'll share here. It goes, quote, it's a long journey. As a kid growing up in the 60s, I was told boys can't be sensitive. You have to be a certain way if you're a boy. So I hid these abilities, my sensitivities as a guy, because I was not supposed to have them based on what the world told me I could be. For many years, I felt sort of out of place. I always felt like an outlier. I wondered, why is everybody having a good time and I was not? I was kind of perplexed and down on myself. Like, why can't I just fit in? So much of my life was spent ignoring my natural, innate, true self because it did not seem to fit in with what people were, well, with what men were supposed to be, end quote.
That's supposed to be resonates.
Yeah, that one, you know, really looking at, and I know we'll talk about this in later episodes, the social conditioning and how we're framing how we're supposed to be versus, you know, showing up as ourselves was a really powerful pattern.
I've got a quote for you from one of the participants that was very personal for me. So I'll go ahead and read it. Quote, "When I was little, I connected to my intuition very easily. Society beat it out of me for a long, long time. Now as an adult, I feel like I'm coming back around to me. For example, as an adult, I got really sick and I feel it was because I closed off to my intuitive abilities. When I reconnected with my abilities, my health came back really quickly and not explained in any medical terms. When I healed, the intuitive abilities came back strongly too," end quote. And that one really resonates with me as a person with chronic pain and being intuitive.
Celeste, I really resonated with that one as well. In looking at what people shared is as they connected with their intuitive abilities, they saw shifts in their health, their well-being. And I know we'll talk about that in later episodes with it, but just another reason why I'm so passionate about bringing this information on a topic that maybe some people feel to be a little taboo, or maybe I feel like so much is changing where so many more people are talking about this and shifting it to the state of helping people know that, you know, they're far from alone in these experiences and how can we connect with each other with that.
Exactly. Like, you know, we've said this already, but framework, right, is really important. And having vocabulary around these experiences, because they're just experiences that people have. And yeah, there's definitely been a taboo around talking about it. But the more we talk about it, the more we realize, hey, we're talking about the same thing. You call it, you know, mediumship, and I call it prayer, or I call it worship, or, you know, like, I'm receiving information or downloads or gut feeling, like all those things. It's all, we're talking about the same thing. So this research wasn't about proving one thing or another. It's about the journey. It's about the shared journey. And it's about, you know, what we can learn from each other, right? So that we move away from this taboo of not talking about it. That's one of the reasons I really, really enjoyed this person's story and their willingness to talk about how it affected their health when they weren't who they are, you know, when they were afraid of these parts of themselves and how it physically made them sick. It's so powerful. It's so powerful.
Absolutely. And I know basically what a lot of this really boils down to is in these conversations where we interviewed 50 highly sensitive intuitives and mediums from around the world on their journey, connecting with their intuition, open-ended questions, right? They can share whatever they wanted within those questions. Asking them about their lived experiences, they shared over and over and over again that so many of us, if not all of us, are deeply connected with the ability to have intuitive experiences. And the ability to be able to connect with each other in conversation and community with that is really powerful for their growth in that connection. I know we talked a little bit about some of the quotes that people shared before they had developed an intentional relationship with their intuition. I wonder, you know, could we hop in here while we're in flow and talk about some of the things that people shared, you know, after they connected with their intuition and built that intentional relationship, maybe after they had a framework around it and really learned to embed it into their everyday lives?
Yeah, I've got another one. And again, this one's personal. If you haven't figured it out from listening already, there was a lot of personal growth with this project, okay? So here's a quote for you. Quote, "When I was 40, I really started to let myself step fully into my intuition. Once I started doing that, I was so open and healthy. Trusting my intuition helped me to be a better parent and human," end quote. Literally, yeah, I this could be me speaking right now.
Yeah, I really resonate with that as well. You know, I know you and I both come from the research world, and we've spent a lot of time in very analytical processes, and we took a very academic, rigorous approach with the research itself here. And one of the reasons, you know, I asked for you to be on the project is to help with that quality control. You know, as a highly sensitive intuitive myself and as a researcher, really having us both look at that information in that cross analysis, quality control was really important. But then also seeing that similar experiences people shared over and over and over again, how it made them be better parents, better humans, right? I resonated with that so fully. And as a researcher, it was really hard to be very neutral throughout the process, but that's what we do, right? We're very neutral when all we want to do is, oh my gosh, that was my experience too.
Right.
But we didn't do that, right? We kept our neutral tones. But to see that, I really resonate with, you know, how it helps you to be more grounded. Helps you. It certainly comes through in my parenting of two incredible teenagers that I'm honored to be a co-parent in their lives. And certainly helps me to be a better human as well.
Right. And it's interesting talking about this particular one and this person saying, you know, when they stepped fully into it, how those things changed. This resonates with the person I am today. Mm-hmm. This didn't resonate with the woman who started this project at all. Mm-hmm. Because I definitely stepped into my own self-identification, my own self-acceptance while doing this work, you know? It's like you said, it's very analytical. And you know how I work. And I was very, you know, diligent about the task.
Absolutely.
And then step back from it. And I'm like, holy cow, this is like a blueprint. Like, this is a guidebook.
Yeah, absolutely. It resonates so fully with it. And I think part of why it took us so long in that data analysis phase, you know, I was very optimistic coming from the research world, thinking we would, you know, in a few, maybe like two or so months, let's wrap up the data analysis and then we'll come up with our any findings and then we'll publish it.
Exactly.
And that data analysis, because of the rich information that came through from people sharing so vulnerably their experiences. Yeah. It took so much longer. And I think a piece of that was, you know, honoring the deep empathy that it took to really hold space for each interview and honor my own experience in this process of stepping more fully into my own intuition and abilities.
Yeah.
That reminds me of another quote here that I'll hop in and share. And it starts, quote, "It's fun!" Exclamation point. It's been difficult in working with what I've been taught. I have a scientific background, and things don't always square up in my very logical mind. However, I've really enjoyed how things open up in my worldview and the horizon whenever I lean into this and connect with my intuition. It feels so open and fun, end quote. I feel like that's something that's really important to talk about here. I know we're kind of trickling what the research was throughout, is that while this project interviewed those that were, you know, practicing psychics and mediums, it was an open call to anyone who identified as a highly intuitive or highly sensitive intuitive person. So we had people from all walks of life in these conversations. We had doctors, we had nurses, we had CPAs, we had psychiatrists, psychologists, so many people from what we might think as very historically scientific backgrounds who talked about their journey connecting in. So I want to really, I think it's really important to share that, that it's not a this or that. Most often what we found is people talked about, you know, integrating these pieces into their wholeness and their expression of themselves along their journey, tuning into their intuition.
Yeah. And me and even you and I, Bonnie, we are designers, right? So a lot of people are like, I thought you were an interior designer. Why are you researching intuition? I'm like, it's all relative. It's like you said, it's not this or that.
And the research process is the same, right? We open-ended questions, ask 50 people their journey, and identify, are there any patterns that have emerged? And obviously, we're doing this podcast because plot twist, patterns did emerge. And it's really wonderful to be able to apply that same rigor to such a intimate conversation and project for people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll close out one final quote here, since we're talking about what people shared after they had connected. And it goes, quote, "Oh my goodness, yes, it is life-changing. This connection informs everything that I do. I view it as an extra point in my decision-making. It's led to more trust in me," end quote. I feel this ties, though it was a different quote and a different interviewer, or interviewee, excuse me, when you're talking about that extrasensory processing mm-hmm. of it, people mm-hmm. describe it as that. So while it comes in many forms, it's a little bit of what people shared, how they felt it impacted their lives. Again, regardless if they were practicing mediums or psychics or just how it made them better leaders, how it helped them lead teams better, right? We pull this into mm-hmm. the business world all the time. We pull this into parenting all the time. It's really profound. Yeah. And
it really is.
Yeah. And what we found in the research is it's in us already. We're already connected to it. It's up to us if we want to tune into it more fully.
That's such a powerful quote, Bonnie. It ended with the participants saying that this led them to trust themselves. That made me think about how we were talking earlier with, you know, really understanding these abilities as a secondary sensory experience, right? Like parts of ourselves that we can learn to understand and trust. Could you go a little bit into the participant who shared with you about hearing a voice and trusting that voice and how it was really powerful for them in that moment? You know the story I'm talking about?
I do. Yeah, it was such a powerful one. I'll share it. Thanks for bringing it up here. So as the story goes, the research participant shared they were at a cabin that was near a river, and they were in the cabin with the other parents while a few kids played down by the river. And out of nowhere, the research participant is talking about having a conversation with the other adults in the room, and then they hear a voice audibly say, "Go check on the kids." The research participant shared that they asked the other people in the room, "Oh, did you hear that?" And no one else in the room had heard it. So again, the voice comes very clearly, "Go check on the kids." In that moment, the research participant trusted that message. It felt right deep in their gut as well. They ran outside and looked at the river. Two of the kids had fallen into the current of the river in that experience. Thankfully, the parents were able to jump in, get the kids out. Everybody was safe. Mm-hmm. Everybody was supported. But had they not listened to that intuitive information, who knows what might have happened with
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm getting goosebumps just recalling this story with it. It was powerful.
Yeah.
Powerful. So that's a really strong example of how people experienced it through audible messages, through information. Again, they felt very grounded in their body when this information came through, and they trusted it in this case. Thank goodness for that experience.
Yeah, because at this point, they've already identified themselves as having these abilities, right? And they are in tune with them, and they've accepted it. And so they're able to interpret these sensations. Yeah.
Well, in this case, actually, that research participant, that was one of their first experiences, and it was so profound for them that it actually kickstarted them wanting to dive deeper into what is this and how can I learn
more. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. It was really incredible. And I know we talked a little bit earlier to share while we're here talking about stories, just to reinforce how it comes through in so many different forms. Is someone shared they would smell roses in a room when there were no physical roses in the space. And in that moment, the research participant shared that they felt an overwhelming sensation of calm, an overwhelming sensation of love, and they instantly thought of their mother, who had passed away or transitioned previously. So in that knowing, they, in that moment, they realized that a way that their mother would connect with them beyond the physical 3D reality of that experience was through the smell of roses, which were their mother's favorite flower.
Oh, wow.
So another really powerful example.
And that's a very distinctive smell or scent, mm-hmm. rather.
Yeah. Yep.
And there's vocabulary around this, right? Like, mm-hmm. You know, because people talked about intuition and what does that mean? And we hinted at framework and having a vocabulary to explain these sensations. But isn't there a specific word for those two experiences you just described?
Yes. So there are terms for all of this, which is really wonderful in helping to navigate and have conversations around these experiences. So when people smell things, for example, or when people hear things, for example, that's what's known as clear audience. When people see things either with their mind's eye or with their eyes open, that's what's known as clairvoyance. When people have body sensations, their goosebumps, I don't know, the hair standing up on the back of my neck. I just can't explain why, but I get chills on one side of my body. That's mm-hmm. what's called clairsentience. So that we are sentient beings mm-hmm. and the clair is coming through our body. So there's a wide range. We can list all of them on the website so you have it there. We can dive deeper, absolutely. But yes, there are terms for all of these experiences that help us to really navigate communicating them and articulating exactly. these experiences.
Right, exactly. Because like we said, with framework, you know, these sensations can be really scary if you don't know how to describe it. Like, mm-hmm. think of yourself as a child, right? Like, you have a nightmare, and it's like, without the word, I had a nightmare. Like, how do you describe that? Mm-hmm. So, same kind of sensation, right? It's like, I'm having this dream, and I don't know how to talk about this. Especially if the frameworks you have are rooted in societal taboos, right? So, it's like, I feel like a lot of people may have religious frameworks to discuss these things, but only within that community. Like, they can't talk about it outside of that community, right? And then if you don't have that, then it's like, oh, is this a mental health issue? You know, like, mm-hmm. I'm hearing voices.
Mm-hmm. Which we do want to be incredibly careful with and compassionate yeah. with, obviously, right? Mental well-being is a very significant focus with it. And I think one of that, so absolutely, you know, making sure that people are having these really grounded experience. Are they feeling grounded in their bodies? Are they feeling yeah. very present with these experiences? That's one way we saw a really strong distinction of people knowing it was intuitive information connecting with them versus, you know, something to really prioritize around their well-being and really get that nurtured as well.
Exactly.
I find that the more and more that we're talking about it, you know, through this research, through conversations, the more people are sharing their own experiences. Again, going back to that pattern that we found that so many people, if not, I want to say it was like 97% of mm-hmm. the people responded in the open-ended questions that they felt very strongly that we mm-hmm. all are connected to intuitive information. Mm-hmm. And it's our choice, should we choose, to tune into that more fully. So one of the things that comes out of work like this is eventually a theory that we as researchers can share back with the community of the research world that they can then use for additional insights and information. The theory that we're proposing out of all of this work is titled Intuition Cultivation Theory, or ICT. And it's defined as a response to working with highly sensitive intuitive experiences and corresponding personal conditioning as a way of both understanding and fostering our intuition.
Can I just geek out for a second on how we distill this theory?
Like, always and absolutely.
Yes, I'm so excited about this work and how it came together, and I'm proud of the work we've done, and I'm so excited, like I said in the beginning, where this is going to go to, because I know it's going to go beyond us. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, I want to thank you all for joining us, for coming along this journey with us as we share the research finding. on people's intuitive connections, their experiences from all around the world. And on our next episode, we'll dive into key findings on how we saw internalized fear to be a major hindrance to people's intuitive connection, their expansion journey, and how people work to overcome that particular roadblock.
So excited to hear and talk about those other findings in future episodes with you, Celeste. Mm-hmm. As we come to this close, we're really curious for those listening. You know, we talked about a range of ways intuition comes, and we'll talk about many more throughout the series. But we're really curious and we want to learn from you. You know, what are some ways intuition has come to you in your experiences? Let us know. Let's share with each other and keep growing. Shoot us an email at podcast@intuitivebynature.com or leave a comment with whatever platform you are listening on. And let's share these experiences and continue to learn and grow with each other. So until next time, keep being your awesome selves. And it's really wonderful being here with you all. Thanks so much.
Toodles.